This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and others for the 2021 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Well, I guess there's no real stopping point. Once you think that you can go into your prayer closet and seek the face of God, and apart from Scripture or any real kind of restrictions that Scripture might put upon what you can experience or what you're going to hear from God, where do you stop? Well, with one teacher, it is nowhere. He can go and cruise the galaxy. You know, Jeff Bezos has to shell out billions of dollars to get himself and three other people into a suborbital flight and get back safely. But maybe he should just have been in his prayer closet and he could have cruised at the speed of light, greater than the speed of light, around the galaxy. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity Today, Christian Astral Projection. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
We're going to be talking about something that I didn't think I would ever talk about when I first started hosting this show, Christian Astral Projection. Is it becoming almost impossible to satirize pop Christianity nowadays?
Yes. In fact, for years, when we did the podcast, we regularly put these satire segments together. We called them Max Holliday's Circus Church. And we got really frustrated because the things that we put out as satire, you know, in a short amount of time ended up just actually being done by people. And so it's becoming like almost impossible to satirize Christianity because Christianity has slipped its biblical moorings, at least within the visible church. And so we're kind of awash at sea, you know, and being tossed to and fro by every wind of strange doctrines that are blowing through. And although the segments that we're going to be listening to, the person who we're going to be listening to would not describe what he's doing as Christian astral projection, I have actually confirmed from two former New Agers that what he's describing is indeed that.
Who is David Edwards?
David Edwards is a guy who is up and coming within the New Apostolic Reformation. He was recently featured on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, and he's the leader of what is called the School of Revivalists in Destin, Florida. And he's also a recently published author within the NAR, his book called Mystify. And so that's the best way I can describe him.
And if you could say he, as an up-and-comer, he falls on the spectrum of kind of mainstream to pushing the edge of the envelope, which may actually apply to everybody at this point, where would he be on that spectrum?
So he's embraced within the mainstream of the NAR, and he would be considered somewhat on the fringes of the charismatic and Pentecostal movements. But there's a lot of overlap between those two, you know, kind of nebulous groups. And so he's definitely still, you know, not somebody that's far outside of anything when it comes to the charismatic and Pentecostal movement.
Is that more of a comment on the movement itself, that it will pretty much tolerate any teaching that a young, charismatic, dynamic preacher puts out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the idea then is that within the charismatic movement, they do not determine whether or not something is true or false based upon a biblical definition. Are we comparing this to Scripture? But over and again, it comes down to kind of the sincerity, the passion, or to kind of use their parlance, you know, how on fire is this person? How committed are they? How much have they leaned into these things? And so as long as you're super sincere and you're really striving after these encounters, that pretty much whatever you say you've encountered after that sincere striving, people within the charismatic movement are pretty much open to it, you know, including things that sound like astral projection and so-called trips to heaven.
All right. What are we going to hear first from David Edwards?
So we're going to listen to the beginning of a segment that he did on supernatural encounters, and where he's going to be describing in the second soundbite, not the first, his what we'll call Christian astral projection. But in this beginning portion, you're going to hear about how he burns for encounters with God. And as we listen to this, one of the things I want to start focusing on and listening for is kind of the underlying legalism that goes along with this view that somehow you can have these encounters. It's based upon your sincerity, your striving, and how much you burn for this. And you can hear this in this initial cut.
Hi, my name is David Edwards. I'm the director of School of Revivalists in Destin, Florida, and the author of Mystify. And I really burn to experience God in supernatural ways. And in fact, I want to share one of my supernatural stories with you. God longs for those who long for Him. And if we're willing to pray, to spend our lives, as Matthew 6:6 says, in that secret place, we're going to unlock this amazing supernatural world that's available to us. You know, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. And who are the ones who are chosen? I think they're the ones who show up. And so one of the ways that we can show up is by saying, Jesus, I'm going to choose to be with you in private, because our private lives fuel our public lives, and it sets us on fire to be a light to the world, to our cities, to our friends and family. So one day I was doing just that. I was actually in the study of my old home, and I was praying. I was on my knees with my head between my knees, and I was just going for it. I was doing my due diligence to pray and to seek God and to seek His face. But I wasn't really feeling much. I kept having to push past distraction. It's like God was speaking, but there was only silence in that moment. And I came to a crossroads. It was one of those times where, wow, maybe I'm done praying. Maybe that's all there is for right now. Maybe I should go make myself a cup of coffee and watch TV. You know, I've already checked off praying today. But something inside of me said, keep seeking me, keep going, and you're going to find out something new, something more. And so I pushed past all those distractions that many of us have every single day. And as I began to wait on the Lord, all of a sudden I heard, it sounded like somebody ran up on my front porch. Now, I became instantly aware of the spirit. I knew it wasn't the UPS man. I knew it wasn't a friend stopping by. And then the next moment, my entire house began to shake. Wow, I can feel this presence. It began to shake and vibrate in the presence of the Lord.
There are a couple things I want to take away from that. First of all, this notion that he burns, mm-hmm. that he's on fire, these images of passion. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, so within the charismatic movement, this is the cash, the currency that you have to traffic in for the purpose of showing God how committed you are to striving after these encounters. And it's a form of legalism. If you were to think about that, always and again, within the charismatic Pentecostal and the NAR, there are people who are first encountering this who may have been Christians for a substantial amount of time, and they've never heard of anything like this. And so their immediate question is this real? Because this person is claiming that by their commitment, their zeal, their desire for these things, their willingness to chase after, that God somehow has rewarded these people and they're striving by giving them these encounters. And so it really becomes an insipid form of legalism. But the Apostle Paul, I would argue, in Galatians chapter 3, argues the exact opposite direction of the way these folks argue. And he writes in Galatians 3, "O foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? So you'll note that Paul, talking to the churches in Galatia who had fallen for the Judaizing heresy, this idea that where you're mixing works and grace in making that a qualification for salvation, he then points out that the Holy Spirit worked among them not because they earned it, because they somehow had striven or obeyed enough, but in fact the Holy Spirit worked, and all of this is a gift because they believed. And so within the charismatic movement, this idea that somebody like David Edwards, he's having these encounters that you sit there and go, well, I don't have that. I like to call guys like him, they're glow-in-the-dark Christians, because they have earned the right to have the encounters that everybody is scratching their heads, wondering if it's real, and then inviting them, you too, if you're just committed enough, you can have these things too. But you'll note that these encounters are merited based upon their zeal, their surrender, their commitment, their expectation, and that is a form of works righteousness.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity today, Christian Astral Projection. Chris is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. On the other side, David Edwards says you need alone time with Jesus. Is that what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 6?
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music, but most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We are sustained by the water of life in baptism, the words of life in His Word, the bread of life in His Holy Supper. In the name of Jesus.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
In the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics on Holy Scripture, I seek to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in three areas.
Dr. Jack Kilcrease talking about his new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series, Holy Scripture.
One, the absolute truthfulness of Holy Scripture. Two, the Christ-centered nature of Holy Scripture. And three, to expound and defend the doctrine of Holy Scripture in a postmodern environment.
Learn more about Holy Scripture at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're talking about Christian astral projection with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. So, Chris, David Edwards talks there about having alone time with Jesus and then having these experiences. Is this what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6, where he says, when you pray, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you?
So the answer is that Christ does not mean what he said the way David Edwards made it sound like Christ was speaking. In fact, within the Charismatic Pentecostal and NAR, you have this concept of what's called the secret place. And what they're doing is they're taking Matthew 6:6 and turning it into the place where you have encounter with God. But here it is in context. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. I'll back up into verse 2 so you can kind of see what's going on here. Jesus says, when you give to the needy, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and to pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The whole thrust of what Christ is getting at there is our tendency towards doing our piety for the purpose of it being seen by others so that we can receive praise from them. That is not Christian piety at all. That's insipid self-righteousness. And so what in Matthew 6:6, Jesus isn't talking about the secret place where you can have encounters if you just have the right level of expectation. Instead, the whole point is pray privately. Pray in order not to be seen by others, because you're actually praying to God and he sees you, and you don't have to worry about earning the praise of others. In fact, if that's what your focus is, then your focus is on yourself and you're still in need of significant repentance, and you're exalting yourself rather than humbling yourself before God.
Then finally, he talks about seeking God's face. What does that really mean? Rather than he's going in looking for a feeling, he said he wasn't feeling it. He's looking for some new experience. What does it mean, as the psalmist says, I will seek your face?
So in the Hebrew mindset, to seek God's face is to seek his favor, to seek his blessing. And this is done by faith, it's humbly done. It's not about a mystical experience. To seek the face of God is to receive from God his favor. You can kind of hear concepts of this in the benediction at the end of every divine service. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And so the idea here is we're not in the benediction invoking and praying for people and hoping that they have these out-of-body experiences or mystical encounters. To have actually God's countenance shine upon us is to be a forgiven sinner, and to know that we have peace with God through what Christ has accomplished on the cross, and the hope of eternal life in the world to come. That's ultimately what that is all pointing to, but he's turned it into a form of kind of esoteric mysticism, which is not that the intended meaning for that at all.
What is next from David Edwards?
So in this next cut, we're going to hear him go on with the story now that his house is shaking and buzzing and stuff like that. And this is where he's going to describe this encounter where God takes him from his room and has him zipping around the galaxy faster than the speed of light.
And I'm laying there almost in awe, like, what do I do? What do you do when your house begins to shake? I was excited, though, because I read the Bible, and I knew that there are stories in the Bible when God's presence was so powerful that the natural environment around would begin to respond. Now, I've been in a couple of earthquakes. You know, I lived in Georgia at the time, so it wasn't like a crazy earthquake, but I knew it wasn't an earthquake. It was as if the walls were doing this fine buzzing, this fine vibrating type of motion. And I remember thinking, this is happening. Like, this is happening. My house is actually shaking. Like, wow, like, what do I do? And above me at the time, there's this glass chandelier. And I kept thinking, I really hope the chandelier doesn't fall and stab me in the back. Oh, wow, my house is shaking. And the presence of something like that, so amazing, just began to, it even reminded me of an earlier encounter I had. I heard about some people who would just wait on the Lord. There's something about waiting. The Bible says that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, will rise up on wings like eagles. And so I was waiting on the Lord one day at a prayer meeting in a chair not too dissimilar from this. And I had heard about people having encounters in the cosmos, in the galaxies. And I leaned back in my chair and I leaned my heart towards the Lord. And in the next moment, I find myself circling around a galaxy faster than the speed of light. I could see the core of the galaxy. I could see the spiral arms coming off of the galaxy. I could see the lights and the colors. And I was on Earth, but I found myself in a heavenly place. And I was like, whoa, this is too much. It was like trying to hang on to the back of a roller coaster. And in the next moment, after I thought, man, this feels too much, I found myself back in the chair. Well, I know, Lord, I said it was too much, but I wanted to experience more. And then I went back, and the next moment, I disconnected myself from the earthly realm, and I found myself swirling around a galaxy faster than the speed of light. You know, it says in Ephesians 2 that we're seated next to Jesus in heavenly places.
What's he claiming there?
So you'll note he used the word disconnected myself from this earthly life. So what he's basically describing here in so many words is an out-of-body experience. He at one pole was connected to the earth, but he had disconnected himself, and that in this encounter, God has him swirling around the galaxy faster than the speed of light. And when I first saw this, I contacted a gal by the name of Melissa Daugherty. She's a kind of a well-known YouTuber who came out of the New Age movement. And my only question to her was, is this astral projection? Her response immediately was, yes. And I find it fascinating that he thinks that he earned this through some kind of activation or his own zealousness. So even former New Agers recognize this for what it is. It's a form of, it's called astral projection, where you leave your body and are able to visit the heavenly realm or the spiritual planes or fly around outer space. That's really what we're listening to here.
What was it supposed to mean? He described the experience, but he didn't say much except to say that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Is that what Ephesians is talking about?
No. So, you know, so the thing is that you'll note that for all of his claims that he's, that this is really what God would have for us, he has yet to rightly handle an actual biblical text correctly, which is one of the telltale signs you're dealing with somebody who is not operating by the Holy Spirit, but by a different spirit, maybe even a demonic one. And so in it's Ephesians chapter 2, where we read, where Paul, at these wonderful 10 verses, you know, in the first three, he describes that we were dead in trespasses and sins, and that we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then you get this wonderful middle portion where the transition takes place. He says about God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us up with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so what this is talking about here in Ephesians 2:6 is, if you would, these are verbs that cannot be understood apart from baptism. In our baptism, we have been buried with Christ and we have been raised with Christ. These verbs that God made us alive with Christ, that he raised us up with him and that he seated us up with him, is not a claim that we can have astral projection experiences, but is a baptismal reality that all who are baptized into Christ Jesus have as a reality. And then the whole purpose then goes into verse 7, so that in the coming ages, God might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us. And then we get those words that we're all very familiar with, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And God has prepared those beforehand that we should walk in them. So taking Ephesians 2:6 completely out of context, divorcing it from the fact that this is connected to a baptismal reality, and then making it sound like, well, because we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that means that we can zip around the universe outside of our bodies faster than the speed of light. I mean, that is stretching this text beyond the breaking point, and shows, because of his inability to rightly handle a biblical text, that we're not dealing with the Holy Spirit here. We're dealing with something very deceptive and very evil.
So there's the possibility, of course, he's just making this up, which seems to be the most likely thing. But if he actually, you mentioned talking about a former New Ager, if he actually had some kind of experience, how would you interpret that experience that he had, if he had it?
So scripture describes these types of signs and wonders as being sent by the devil for the purpose of deceiving the elect, if that were possible. And so the idea then is that we have to take a look at how scripture tells us to look out for these things, that in the last days that there would be false Christs and false prophets and false anointed ones who will actually be able to perform great signs and wonders. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 24. So that even if this experience is something that he legitimately had, the source is not Christ. It is not the Holy Spirit. You can tell by the way he's twisting the scriptures. So the question then is that if this is him being deceived, then the source is a demonic source, and Christ warns that signs and wonders like this are sent by the devil for the purpose of deceiving the elect, if that were possible. Really kind of, teasing people to take the bait and end up on the demonic hook.
It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. Today, David Edwards and Christian Astral Projection. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Be sure to look for Pastor Roy Askins, managing editor of the Lutheran Witness, at this week's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. The Lutheran Witness interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. It's available in print and online. An annual subscription is less than $20. Find out more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. On the other side, more from David Edwards. From struggle to jubilation, the Psalms reveal the human experience. The Psalms also serve as a wonderful tool for devotion and reflection. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Engaging the Psalms, A Guide for Reflection and Prayer. Learn more about this new devotional resource at issuesetc.org or purchase Engaging the Psalms by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Engaging the Psalms, A Guide for Reflection and Prayer.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with most to be pitied in Adam and in Christ. Say what? The resurrection of the body and the man from heaven. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
At Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia, you will hear God's Word faithfully preached every Sunday. We invite you to join our growing family of believers this week and every week for Education Hour beginning at 9 a.m., followed by Divine Worship at 10 a.m. For more information, find us on the web at oursavior-lcms.org. That's oursavior-lcms.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Are you an investor looking to support the bold and loving work of LCMS churches? Is your church or organization ready to do bold and loving work? This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org. That's 800-843-5233, lcef.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about David Edwards and his claim to have engaged in astral projection. So, Chris, what is up next from David Edwards?
So now that he's relayed to us the details of this, spinning around the universe, swirling around the universe out of his body, he's now going to give us a little bit more details about the encounter. And again, I'm going to have us focus in on listening to the underlying legalism as it relates to how you can have these encounters too. But these are the things that he says you have to be doing.
Our origin is Father God breathing his supernatural life and substance into us. Supernaturally supernatural. We have the supernatural reality of God in our DNA. And so for us to be in his presence causes us to come more alive than we ever have been or that we've ever known. And even in sharing these encounters with you right now, I can feel God's presence beginning to fill the studio. I can feel the wind of God is even kind of flowing across my hands even now. So if you're at home watching, this invitation is set. His table is set for you to experience more of him than you may have ever known before. It's also set for if you used to burn for Jesus, but you've been having trouble finding that fire, his table is set. And so if your prayer lives feel dull or you feel like, man, like God hasn't been speaking to you, I challenge you and I encourage you to wait. Because if you're waiting in silence, that means that God has an amazing meal that he's preparing just for you. Intimacy, creator and creation, father and his sons and in his daughters. And so these two encounters erupted in my life because I wanted to be with Jesus more than I wanted that cup of coffee. That cup of coffee is okay, but in that moment I chose him. So look for those opportunities where you can choose God. You can choose him in those little things. And one of the things that is a really practical tool is when I go after an encounter, I try to look for what God is doing, not for what God isn't doing. When I first began to feel and have some of these encounters, I expected the wind to blow through the room. I expected like this physical thing begin to happen where like, oh, like a movie set, like all of a sudden heaven's right in front of me. Now those times have happened, but they were ignited by me seeing the small difference of heaven on earth, the cloud the size of a man's hand, and then saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to turn my attention, my heart, and my focus to what you are doing.
Take that apart for us, if you would, Chris.
All right. So there's so many different ways in which this has gone off the rails. But you're going to note that waiting in silence is the thing that, kind of activates and shows God that you're serious. But the other thing is that your desires have to hit the right threshold. In his case, he said, he was waiting in silence, but because I wanted to be with Jesus more than I wanted coffee, that then he was able to have this experience. And you can have it too. And so you'll note that everything is based upon your surrender, your expectation, your pushing through whatever the distractions are. It's really up to you. It's a form of legalism. You're meriting these experiences. But the thing that I thought was probably one of the most, I would argue, really demonically deceptive things is he said that when you are waiting in silence, that Christ is preparing a meal for you. And as confessional Lutherans, we recognize that the meal that Christ has prepared for us is the Lord's Supper, where every divine service we are able to participate by feasting on the body and blood of Christ given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. You'll note that in this theology here, he's taking our focus off of the meal that Christ has really set and making it sound like these mystical out-of-body type of experiences, our houses are shaking or we're getting a liver shiver somehow, that's the meal that Jesus has prepared for us. And so you'll note that in mysticism, the Lord's Supper falls away and a substitute meal is placed before them, and that's the meal of these earned, merited spiritual experiences.
I take it that his average viewer or listener is not going to be able to engage in astral projection and fly around galaxies at speeds greater than the speed of light. So what does the average person who hears of his claimed experiences, what is the average Christian going to do with that?
So this is the type of stuff that ends up shipwrecking somebody's faith. And, you know, I've seen this happen to people and have spoken with many people over the decades where what ends up happening is that somebody says, all right, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to buy this man's book. I'm going to apply all the principles that he says that I need to apply. I'm going to surrender myself. I'm going to go to the secret place. I'm going to sit in expectation. I'm going to push through all of the distractions. And when they do that, nothing happens. And so they feel that there's something wrong with them. And so they'll oftentimes go to the person who teaches these things or the pastor who's promoting these books and things like this. And they'll say, you know, I've done everything. You know, I've even tithed. Why is this not happening? And always and again, the answer they're going to get is it's your fault. You don't have enough faith. You have unconfessed sin in your life. The reason why you're not having these encounters is because ultimately you're not worthy to have them. And that may not be communicated in so many words, but that's the gist of it. And so they feel like they are relegated to kind of the second class citizens of Christianity because they aren't the ones who can ascend to be the glow in the dark Christians. And a lot of people will end up leaving the visible church at this point, despondent and feeling that God is angry at them and that there's nothing they can do to earn God's favor so that they can have these experiences. And they're done. They've been perfectly inoculated. They will never again set foot in a Christian church. Other people, they, for lack of a better way of putting it, they end up pretending and say, oh, I'm having those experiences. And then it becomes basically their imagination running amok and their way of saying, well, I'm part of the elite group. But in reality, they're just pretending. And then there's a small group of people, I would say, they're experiencing something for real. It ain't the Holy Spirit, but the things they tap into are the obvious demonic. And the fruit of all of this is a Christless Christianity devoid of any meaningful understanding of Scripture and an insipid form of legalism where people earn the right to glow in the dark, and everybody else, it's just because they haven't done the right things yet or earned that right.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. He's creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a link to Fighting for the Faith at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thanks.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is with us on the other side of the break. It'll be part 11 of our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew. We'll talk about the importance of doctrine. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast ChristNet on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
It's at Crusum's annual Christmas in July sale. Pick up that set of Christmons you've always had your eye on, or check out our stunning new Agnes Day Christian flag. Our Christmon sets are less 30%, whilst most other items are reduced by 20%. Use checkout code Christmas in July to receive the discount. To find out more, call us on 720-437-1104 or visit our website, adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Concordia Lutheran, Wilmington, Delaware. Grace Lutheran, Clarksville, Tennessee. Emmanuel Lutheran, Appleton, Minnesota. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Redeemer Lutheran, Marshalltown, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. And Trinity Lutheran, Savannah, Georgia. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.